Welcome to Right Here in Mass. We're a weekly podcast that features individuals throughout the Bay State who are on our radar and should be on yours. From the Berkshires to Boston, Cape Cod and the islands, tune in to learn about who you should know right here in Mass. Welcome back to another episode of Right Here in Mass. Joining us today is Misty Lynch, a personal finance expert and the owner and CEO of Soundview Financial Advisors, LLC. Misty hosts the unscripted reality show Heartbroke and the Demystifying Money podcast. She is also the author of the Demystifying Money book and a personal finance expert and resource for media outlets, including the New York Times, Cosmopolitan, CNBC, CNN, Investopedia, Real Simple, Student Loan Hero, and so many others. Misty, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me on the show today, Ashley. I'm excited to talk to you today.
Yeah, I'm excited to chat with you as well, especially because, well, before we began recording, we were talking about how this is going to be such a helpful episode for entrepreneurs and business owners who are really looking to kind of take their finances to the next level. So before we really get into that subject specifically, I'd love if you could share an overview of what it is that you do at Soundview Financial and how you support your clients.
Definitely. So here at Soundview Financial Advisors, I do a lot of work with a lot of different families, but most of the people I work with either have some self-employment or a regular income, whether it's them solo or part of their family. Because I feel like this is an interesting space where a lot of times people, you know, maybe they rely on their employer for their financial literacy, or they have a 401k plan at work, someone tells them to put a certain amount in, and they kind of just set things up. And for some people, that can get them in a pretty good spot, even if they just do some simple things early in their career. Now, I know that self-employment is on the rise. A lot of people are interested in maybe finding, you know, a different path rather than the traditional 9-to-5. But with that comes a lot of insecurity about, you know, how do I set all of these things up for myself, especially if they're in a business that maybe creates a different product or service that has nothing to do with finance. And so I really like helping those people kind of become their own HR department, set up the right type of plan for them, figure out how to fund it, figure out how to look at the future financial goals that they have, because I come from a long line of entrepreneurs who pretty much work until they pass away. And like they never really plan to retire or stop working, partially because they love work and kind of identify with it, but also because they couldn't, because they really had to continue to work to pay the bills. And that is only getting more difficult for people as things get so much more expensive, like our basic needs, education, healthcare. So I think it's so important for small business owners to really focus on this as not just something that they can ignore or hope for their best or just plan to work forever, but really something they should prioritize. And it could save them a lot in certain ways too.
Yes, absolutely. And when many business owners who don't have any experience with finance or money start to really look into their business's finances, they're likely feeling overwhelmed and probably are facing that almost like paralysis analysis where they're just like, I don't even know what any of this means or where to even start. Mm-hmm. And so for the business owners who might find themselves in that situation currently, what would your advice be for really just being able to get a handle on their finances and what they can learn about it?
Yeah, I think it's really important for people not just to think about themselves as like part of the business, but to kind of take a step back and think of themselves like if this business was outside of them, and think about it like any corporation you worked with, you would expect them to have a budget. Maybe chief financial officer or somebody who's making sure that it's profitable and sustainable. And so a lot of times we get very busy in our businesses and we just kind of start sacrificing things. And I'll talk to some business owners that aren't even paying themselves, or they left, you know, a stable job, or they left something different. And now they feel like they have no money and they're not really sure what to do. But sometimes we get shiny objects where we see something, we think we need that for the business, or we need that, before it comes down to kind of looking at really what the business, how it's functioning on paper, and ways that you could potentially make sure that you are profitable and that your expenses stay under control. Because it can be very easy to spend all your money in the business, especially, you know, if you're really, there's tools and technology in almost every business now that's appealing, or, you know, like objects or real estate, different things like that, that people are interested in it. So once you kind of understand the financial piece of it, sometimes it's scary. Sometimes it's not beautiful at first. However, we all start somewhere. And so it's really hard to measure success if you don't keep track of any of your financial goals or anything really that's going on behind the scenes. So I think you need to kind of step back from it, not take it personally if the business has debt or if the business needs to raise prices. Certain things like that can be really hard for people because they think of it as like a reflection of them rather than something like right. An independent company that would have a whole team of people planning this stuff.
Exactly. And so that's a great first point to start with, which is if someone's kind of feeling like they're not getting as much profit as they could, seeing if they could be raising their prices. But what are some other things that business owners could consider if they're looking at their profit and loss statement and they're seeing that the numbers of revenue is somewhat close to their expenses? Where are some things that they could look at or some things that they could remember with kind of knowing where they could possibly cut things or some changes that they could make to help kind of boost that number up a bit?
Yeah, I think that's where kind of looking at where money is going out is really important, because sometimes we're paying for things and we don't really evaluate whether we're getting what we need out of them, or if we're even using those things anymore, because it's just kind of coming out of the business automatically and maybe we're not paying attention. I know there's certain times where I'll take a look at everything, and if there's a service that I'm using or that I'm paying for that maybe I don't use anymore, or that I picked up for a certain thing that I needed to do, but I, you know, now have other tools to use, I will start to cut back on those things. Or I'll look at what I have, you know, maybe people that I'm working with, and see if I'm actually using those benefits to the maximum value that's available to me. So I think it's really important to kind of do an audit of your expenses. And there's some people that I think are super valuable on my team that I would absolutely continue to pay, you know, and then there's other times where I've had to make tough decisions about, you know, whether or not, you know, paying for a particular service, marketing, certain things are actually adding value or not. And so I think it's important to look at it kind of very objectively, you know, and just decide whether or not you need to shift your money somewhere else, or if you're not making enough, then I think sometimes people do have to raise their prices. And I know a lot of small business owners are very reluctant to do that because they think, what if my clients leave? They think of the worst case scenario. And often we look at everything else when I talk to people, you know, how much has this service gone up in this year? How much have these things? And most people say, oh yeah, quite a bit. And so I think most people, if they're getting value from your service or your business, they kind of can expect for prices to change. And so it can be a very difficult thing, though, for business owners to think of, because they're obviously none of us want to see all of our clients leave or people stop using us. But sometimes it does have to be readjusted so you can continue to stay in business.
Absolutely. And I can imagine that some months or seasons might have a much higher expenses or number of expenses compared to others. And so I can imagine that it's probably important to almost have like a case by case or subjectivity that you take to these, because just because one month you might have crazy expenses, it doesn't mean that you need to just cut everything right away. Would you say that?
Yeah, definitely. I do think it's important to kind of give certain initiatives some time to see if they pay off. Certain things, like even like with social media or with marketing, you might not see that instant return on your investment. However, it can take quite a bit of time for certain things to actually start to, you know, I have had a podcast for a number of years. And so right away, at first, it wasn't exactly, you know, profitable or anything like that. But then I noticed I was starting to get people who were telling me that they heard about me from listening to the show or certain things like that. So it was kind of like, okay, this has an expense. I kept the expenses very minimal, but it did take time to kind of see the return on that. Some things you might see that right away. And then for other people, you might be in a business where really, you know, you have a lot of overhead. And so that could be something that maybe this is a one-time expense. So we can look at it and say, this was a very expensive month. Are we going to need to be doing this every month? Oh no, that was just a one-time, or this is just something that comes up every quarter. And so we can kind of look at things, you know, kind of looking back to get some trends and to realize, okay, every month is going to be different, but these are very expensive months. And these months are kind of, maybe they're leaner in sales or expenses. So planning for that, so it's not feast or famine, can be really important. Because a lot of times we will have a different, you know, different economic cycle than some other people who are really getting paid every 2 weeks.
Right. And speaking of economic cycle, our listeners will be listening to this in the summer, which for many business owners tends to be that slower season. And I think that's normal in any business where they go through various seasons where some are really, really busy and some might be slower, at least just steady. And so I think that fluctuation can really cause a lot of overwhelm with these business owners, especially when it comes to finances and worrying about what they're going to do if they don't have as much money coming in the door as they do at other points in the year. So for our listeners who might find themselves in that situation, what would you recommend for them for just being able to have that healthy cash flow and be able to have a financial position that they feel really good about?
Yeah, I think it's really important for business owners to kind of look at the entire year. This would happen to us all the time when I was growing up, where we wouldn't get paid for months. And then when we did, we kind of rewarded ourselves. You know, my father's like, you deserve this, or we deserve to, you know, and the money would be gone very quickly. And so that's something that I felt like I always tried to protect myself against. And so what I do is I know how much it costs to be me on a normal month. So I know how much it costs to run the business, and kind of like on the, you know, I kind of plan for the lowest amount of income that I get a month. And so when there are those months where it's higher or better, then I kind of can build a bit of a safety net, like kind of a bit of a buffer to get through. So I can say, okay, I'm going to consistently take an owner draw for this every month, because this is what I know I could run. Maybe at the end of the year, we take a look and see if there's anything, you know, if I could fund the retirement plan a little bit more or move the money somewhere else where it will be useful. But I kind of try to work around that lean type of budget and to kind of plan for that. That's helped me feel pretty safe, instead of saying, okay, I'm going to rip as much money as I can out of the business because it was a really great month. And then all of a sudden I'm scrambling, worried about the next, you know, the next quarter. That to me felt, you know, it just felt too scary.
Yeah.
Because I'd seen like the rough side of it, that I feel like now I'm pretty comfortable. You know, maybe there's some month I could take up more, or maybe at the end of the year, I kind of reassess it, give yourself a raise and figure out if you can increase that. But I think it's important to kind of keep it level, because we're all going to have those months. And a lot of businesses survived COVID and different times in really difficult situations, where maybe you use those months and say, okay, people don't need me that much. This is when I'm going to focus on my marketing. This is when I'm going to focus on some of the working kind of in the business and on the business, you know, kind of to make sure that you get those, using that time wisely instead of just feeling stressed and kind of ignoring, you know, what's going on. I think that can be a really good time for people to really do some research, think about things. Some people, I'm setting up 401k plans for them because they have a little bit of breathing room and they're like, okay, this has been on my list to do forever. Mm-hmm. And then this is a good time to do it.
That's a really great point, is that just because it might feel slower than what you're used to for a period of time, that doesn't necessarily mean that it's a bad thing. I mean, especially throughout the years of the pandemic, I feel like now I'm just starting to kind of get used to what's like a normal business, like success for me. And I feel like the pandemic was definitely an outlier with how things have performed. And so since now things have shifted post pandemic, I'm like, oh my gosh, am I doing bad? And then I think about it and I'm like, well, no, it's just because that was like an outlier in what a lot of businesses did. And so now it's just kind of getting back to normal. So I think having a lot of perspective, I've realized as a business owner, is important, and kind of keeping that stuff in mind to just, like you said, not feel so overwhelmed and stressed out and worried.
Yeah, I think it could be a good time. You know, during COVID, I was having people wanting to talk to me over the summer, right before the holidays, because everyone was home all the time. And so usually in my business as a financial advisor, people weren't exactly looking for me in July.
Yeah.
You know, like they're on a boat somewhere. They don't want to talk about their budget. However, then in September, oh my gosh, we got to get back to school, got to get back to work, tax season. Okay, we got to do this. And so it's getting back to be a little bit more of a normal cycle, because before it was just kind of constantly on people's minds and busy. So I think all of us are going to have that. And maybe you're a business that's killing it in the summer. Maybe you're a wedding photographer. Maybe you're busy, really busy right now. What can you do in the off season to still feel productive and set yourself up for a better season when you do have like no free time?
Yes, absolutely. And speaking of kind of making sure that you have that safety net almost to fall back on, I know that one thing I remember thinking, and other business owners as well, is I was like, well, what's that like ideal number that I should always have in my bank account? And I know that there's no magic number, and it of course varies from business to business. But one thing I've heard is that having at least 3 months of expenses covered within your bank account is something that people should consider. Is that something you agree with, or is there advice that you typically give to your clients to make sure that they're set and secure if something happens?
Yeah, I think 3 months is a really good amount of time. I feel like if you have, say, especially with business owners, I think we're going to have a little bit more ups and downs than some people. Not that people aren't getting laid off. I mean, there always is some sort of, risk or threat when it comes to our income. And so I think it's important to have 1 month might not be low. That might go by really, really quickly if something, if something happens to you, you're injured, you can't work. 3 months, I think, is a long enough runway where you might be able to figure out like how to get by out of that quarter, that season, before you may have to kind of pivot your strategy or do something different. And then if you have like a year's worth sitting in cash, it's possible that it could be working harder elsewhere, whether it's invested, whether you're putting money into the business, hiring, all of these things that could potentially help you bring in more. So I like 3 months. First, you have to know what a month of expenses is. And that's like the first step for people. And if you could put 1 month away, fantastic. That's great. Like, and kind of that should be a goal. And then if you say, you know what? We kind of have some more volatility here. I think six might feel a little more comfortable. Then that's fine. That's going to depend on like how regular your income, what you can count on based on your business, your contracts, things like that that you have with people. And for some, it's less predictable than others. You might want to increase that if you could go months between projects.
Yeah, and that's a great point too, is to just kind of analyze what's happening within your specific business and within your numbers and being able to make a decision that feels good to you in that sense.
Yeah, and I think it can be really helpful. Like once you start to understand the money coming in, money going out, like it's definitely easy to say like, okay, this is consistent. This is where you might have some opportunities because you're always going to want to look at, whether even if you don't have to change, whether you can or whether you can maybe create a strategy that works a little better. Or maybe you're getting to a point where you're like, what if I did sell the business? Or what if I want to retire someday? How can I get there faster or be work optional quicker? And so there's certain things you can do besides just kind of working, paying bills, which tends to be the track that a lot of entrepreneurs go on.
Exactly. And speaking of kind of saving money that could potentially be better used elsewhere, I think one thing that you really specialize in and excel in is the fact that you're also a certified coach, which I think very closely, as you know, ties with people and their money. People have a lot of emotions and feelings about money. I know I've chatted about this with you before, but I know I have a scarcity mindset, and so I tend to hold on to stuff. And so is that something that you often experience with your clients, is like they have these like learned behaviors from family members with money that gets carried into their business, or they have certain beliefs that you kind of work with them to break through and adjust?
Yeah, definitely. And it's interesting, Ashley, like a lot of us, and I have children that are, in elementary school, and I've read several places that you start to like your beliefs about money start to develop before you're even 7 years old. And so a lot of the things that we carry around or that we think all the time, we don't really know where they came from. We just don't question them. Like if we think like you need to save every dollar that you make, like we won't question it. It'll feel like a fact because we've said it in our brain so many times. Or you've got the other side of the spectrum where people are like, you only live once, can't take it with you, that never want to save and never want to put money away for the future. And I've come across that, like, and everything in between with the people I've worked with. And a lot of times I just ask, why do you feel that way? Or what makes you say that? And sometimes they've really never thought about it. But what we can do is kind of look more. When we do some financial planning work together, like, okay, how much does it cost to be you? Okay, how much? And I have some people that couldn't run out of money if they tried, and they're still very afraid to spend any of it. And so, sometimes then it becomes a conversation of, well, somebody's going to spend this money. Well, maybe we could upgrade. Maybe we could make our life slightly more comfortable. Maybe we could go on a vacation because you don't want to necessarily not live your life, but you don't want to run out of money in the end, which is something that I've seen a lot of people have to deal with in my own family as well, where it is hard when you're not necessarily looking to get a new job in your 70s, but your expenses are going up and then your options are really, really limited. So kind of trying to figure out a balance that works for people, recognizing who they are. And some people love to save money. I give them the app so they can log in and look at it, you know, and make sure that they can see it. Because that might be something that's really important to somebody who's afraid to kind of part with money out of their checking account or where it's like right there. And then just checking in and making sure like everything still feels right. And, you know, sometimes it's just really worth it to kind of question those beliefs that we've had for so long. And that's kind of why I wrote the book, because I was having that conversation with so many different people. And I had to do so much work on myself because I had so many money. I didn't even like rich people. I didn't. I really yeah. didn't. Because we'd had money and success until I was about 10. And then we had went pretty broke, had to move, had to sell everything. Constantly fighting about money. My parents were always stressed out, and I was in we moved to a very nice town. We were the poorest people in the town, pretty much. And so it was a small school, great high school for being a public school. It was really tiny. But everybody around me had like, they rode horses. They had like, their couches didn't touch the wall. They had all these things. And I was like, I was so jealous. I was so like annoyed. And so like in our minds, like we just try to protect ourselves. So I was like, okay, they're obviously this. But it still didn't make sense because I knew we used to have money and I didn't feel like we were better or worse now than we were before. But it's just funny because I would be like, oh, and like roll my eyes. And then I realized like, how am I ever going to become something that I don't like? And so I had to do a ton of work on my own thoughts. And I was like, no, money doesn't make you good or bad. Money, this is just a tool to like make our lives to do things. And so trying to figure out a way to like, you know, work through those. And I mean, our thoughts can be really, really, they could keep us very stuck for a really long time. So kind of working through that and figuring out how I could have a healthier relationship with money, forgive my parents for like what we kind of went through, and then make a different kind of path for my own family.
Yes. And I love the quote that you just shared, money is a tool that we use to get things, which I think is so true. I mean, it's a vehicle for helping us to achieve the goals that we set in our life, whether it's personal and your lifestyle or whether it's professional and related to your business. And I know for me personally, I had to work so hard to get comfortable. That's one of my favorite quotes, get comfortable with the uncomfortable. But I had to get so comfortable with the uncomfortable feeling of spending money, because that's one thing that I heard so many times previously. Mm-hmm. As it relates to business, is in order to make more money, you have to spend money. And so that might show up in the form of hiring team members or investing in technology and services mm-hmm. that can help to automate some parts of your business and whatnot. And I think that that's also really important to remember too, is that sometimes shelling out a little bit of cash can help you get so much more cash back in return.
Yeah. And especially for all the solos out there, the solo entrepreneurs listening, that can be the toughest thing, because we are everything. And so anytime that we take money and move it towards something else or outsource certain tasks, it can feel really tough, because while we should be able to do it all, right? We're usually pretty high achievers. We've probably worked really hard to get to the point that we're at. And so I think it can be really difficult to think about like, I could just do it myself. And then you have no time.
Mm-hmm.
Or you're completely overwhelmed or burnt out. Or you're spending a ton of time on tasks that might take somebody else 10 minutes to do. For $20 an hour.
Yeah.
And, you know, Canva, I would almost throw my laptop on the ground trying to figure out how to like make a brochure. And I'm like, this isn't something I should be doing anymore, because mm-hmm. I don't like it. I'm also bad at it. So
yes. And that's a great point that you bring up too, about getting all that time back. Cause I know I'm guilty of this sometimes, and I just speaking with other business friends are guilty of it as well. But sometimes when we're spending money, we always think like, well, what's the money that it's going to make us? And the return that you get from something isn't always new customers, new clients, more money. It might be, like you said, time. So as you mentioned, if you get all of that time back, now you have so many more hours back in your week and in your month to focus on revenue generating activities yourself. And although that service might not be bringing you money directly, you know, have the time to actually make more money yourself. And so it's like having that trade-off, I think, is really important for people to keep in mind.
Yeah, especially if time is really, you know, your time and your brain, I feel like, are such big investments that people don't necessarily think about. You know, like if you have the time to actually think and brainstorm about your business, or even learn a new skill or do something like that, that is usually a great investment. Again, it's a cost, Even getting a coach, even working with somebody to kind of work on your own like brain, I feel like has always helped me, even though it feels like an expense and like I should be able to figure this stuff out. But what if I figured it out faster, made changes quicker, and then things just kind of, you kind of leap through time a little bit. And so I think that, you know, if you can get your time back, like you certainly, like you can't buy it back later. That type of thing. Or if you're just never able to focus on your health or exercise because you're always so busy, like those are the things that I've seen people wish they could buy back and they can't. So definitely something to think about if you're starting to feel at that point where you are just doing all of the things. And write down, what could you get rid of? What could you outsource? What are some of the things that you really hate to do? And then like find someone who loves them.
Yeah, that's a really great point because as you shared, I mean, there are many things that business owners really don't like doing and honestly really shouldn't be doing, as you said.
It could be your bookkeeping. It could be that you don't want to look at, you don't want to do like, I hired a bookkeeper. I could definitely do this. However, like I like having somebody every month send me a report kind of like these are the reports. And like, I can kind of absorb that and then think big picture about, okay, what changes do I want to take now? Because it kind of like gives me a step out of it. And that's, you know, a couple hundred dollars a month, but it feels like a very good investment for me.
Yes, exactly. And sometimes some things that I like to do, if I'm thinking about spending money somewhere, I think to myself, well, what can I do to replace that money? Is there something that I can do to bring in more clients to kind of cover what that cost might be? And I think that that's a good strategy to think through as well, is not necessarily look at it as just constantly spending money. Now you're looking at it as, okay, well, now I'm in the position to do something to actually make more money from it.
Yeah, I love that. And I think people should think about that with their personal budget too. I've had that sometimes where, you know, we wanted to get a new car, we, you know, would bring on a car payment. And then there are certain things that we cut out of the budget because I, you know, we could make more money, or what we could do is kind of look at where are some holes, where are some things that just aren't serving us anymore. Maybe we could get rid of that and then put it towards the thing that we really, really want. And then it's kind of a wash. And then that feels like, okay, you know, just kind of cleaning house, making sure that you've got everything working in the right direction. But there are going to be certain tasks every day that might be the ones that, or, you know, once I get to this point, that's the first thing that's going to go and you can be prepared for that.
Yeah, that's a great idea too, is just, you, even if you're not ready now to let go of something, just having that list of what you'd like to let go of or outsource in the future. I think that's a great idea. And one of the things that business owners also should keep in mind, as you've hinted at a few times, is retirement. Mm-hmm. And for our listeners tuning in, Misty was a fabulous panelist on our webinar that we recently hosted about preparing for retirement as a business owner. And so I'd love to just reshare some of those nuggets that you had explained and shared with our audience during that, because I think it's so important to hear over and over again, especially kind of hearing something a few times to really make it stick in. And so when someone's thinking about retirement as an entrepreneur, what's the first thing that they should do to get started with that?
Yeah, I think while being an entrepreneur, sometimes it's hard to even think about retirement. And we don't spend a lot of time, even, you know, a lot of people I talk to, they know like, oh, I'll retire at 65. Okay, what are you going to do when you retire? And they haven't really gotten that far. And maybe they think about a big vacation or seeing some things that they want to do, but they can't really picture what they would do on that Monday. And, you know, 2 weeks later. And so I think it's really important to spend some time thinking about retirement. Some people really, you know, they don't want to save for retirement because they feel like, well, what's the point? I'm going to keep working forever, or I like working. And that's one of the things I hear a lot from entrepreneurs. It's like, I never want to stop working. I love this. Like this. And the problem with that is most people don't retire when they want to. Like the date or the year they choose. There's a lot of times where health, caring for other family members, it could be the economy, certain things will maybe get in the way of you achieving that particular retirement goal. So I think it's important for people to think like, what might my life look like? And what would I be happy with? What do I kind of want? And then kind of not necessarily like, I have some people that are still working that are work optional and they have been for a while. They could retire tomorrow. They could retire a year ago. And that's fine. Every year they continue working is just going to make the financial picture look better and better. But they know that they could. And so I think it's important to kind of plan for like, how much does it cost to be me? Where do I want to live? Do I want to stay here? Like all these big things that are kind of, you know, where do a lot of people in Massachusetts talk to me about retiring somewhere different in a more maybe tax-friendly state for retirees. And so those are things that the longer you're planning ahead, the easier those decisions will be once the time comes. The thing is, we don't know when that time necessarily is going to come.
Right.
So I think a lot of times when I talk to business owners, it's really trying to figure out not just like how can they save for retirement, but how could potentially saving for retirement right now help them with their tax situation today? Mm-hmm. And a lot of business owners, really one of their biggest expenses is taxes. And so sometimes there's certain ways that we can actually create a strategy, because a lot of the businesses that have 401k plans and employer matches, they're not doing it out of the goodness of their heart. They're getting a tax break on that money that's going into the plan. So they want you to participate. You could set that up for yourself too, or certain things like a SEP IRA, SOL IRA, small 401k, all of these things, depending on the size of your business, could really help you have a place to kind of put money away for future you and reduce your current taxable income. And so that's where a lot of people kind of get excited about the thought of it, because they liked having that when they worked at a corporation, or they've heard about it, but they don't necessarily understand, like, what can I do to, you know, save on taxes today, especially as they start to get more and more productive and successful. Mm-hmm. The tax bill can be kind of a nice way to reduce that. Everybody's looking for a way to do that.
Yeah. And that's great advice, is starting now with being able to think about how you can prepare for your retirement and also get those tax benefits now and those tax breaks. So one of the things too that you shared both just now and in the webinar that I really loved was just being able to retire because you want to, not because you have to. And that's because of the steps that you took in order to get to those points. And I think that when people get to that point where, like you said, with your client, could have retired last year, can retire tomorrow, it takes a lot of stress, I think, out of people's lives, and they actually end up working because they enjoy it, not because they have to end up working. And so I think being able to get to that point where you're working just because you truly want to, I think, is a goal that probably many people will have.
Yeah. And I think there's like the whole FIRE movement, the financial independent, retire early. I like most of that. I like the financial independent part. That I think is fantastic. I'd like to know when that point is going to be and help people figure that out. Retiring early, some of us love to work. And I actually am one of those people that's always liked to work. However, I don't want to have to take a job that is stressful, difficult, because I have to, you know, like those are the considerations. And so I have some people that have retired and have gone back to work because they want to have more spending money, or somebody asked them to help them out. They kind of can make different decisions, not I need to do this out of like desperation and need, kind of out of like, well, is this something that I want? Would this be fun? Would this be fulfilling? Would this help me, you know? And maybe it is just the social aspect. There's other things that come along with, you know, being employed that can be beneficial. I have some clients that have taken very, very part-time jobs at like a Trader Joe's to pay for health benefits, and they left the job that was sucking their soul. Because they could say, you don't need to make this. You can make this. And it would actually still be fine. Like, what do you want to do? And so a lot of times, really, we just think we have to make this because we've always made this. We have to work this hard because we've always worked this hard. And there might be other options.
Yeah, that's a great point. It's just being able to understand that you don't have to necessarily continue on that trajectory that you're on. Instead, you can make those changes because of the work that you started previously. And I think that's something that you personally taught me, is the earlier you can start, the better, because now you're positioning yourself much later in life to be in a really good position due to the several years and even decades that you've spent being able to save up and prepare for retirement.
Yeah. And it never hurts. The more money that you kind of have sitting aside, you know, there for you, it's just going to make, nobody's ever saved too much for down payment or saved too much. Like, I have some people that like kind of get in a tough point as far as transitioning to spending it. However, nobody's ever like saved too, you know, or felt bad about that once they get to the point. So I think it is kind of, if you start young, or you start now, if you didn't start young, okay.
Yeah.
If you start soon. I've talked to people in their 60s. I mean, we've improved people's credit scores. We've done, you know, certain work that like, you know what, like, there's always something you could do. My grandmother lived to 96 years old, you know? So if she was 60 years old saying, oh, you know, maybe she could have actually made a couple changes that would have made life more comfortable for the next 36 years. It's a long time sometimes that we're thinking about. So I would, you know, I would just kind of, you know, if you feel like you should have started earlier, like that might just be something your brain is throwing at you to keep you doing exactly what you've been doing. And
right.
It's time to kind of think about things in a little bit different way.
Absolutely. And so when someone's getting re to retire, I mean, what are some options that they have? I know you mentioned they could kind of work part-time at another position. I know another option is being able to sell off a company, which I know is something that you kind of happened into, right? You bought a company where someone was retiring.
Yeah. So in my situation, I had wanted to, I left corporate and then I was with a firm for a little while, great firm in Massachusetts. It was slightly different, than exactly what I wanted to do. It was kind of like, Cinderella, like it didn't quite fit, but
Yeah.
it could have been okay, but maybe a little uncomfortable. And so I, through my network, actually had known a woman for a number of years before COVID, during, we kind of lost touch during COVID. And I ended up running into her in a grocery store. And I saw her with her mask on and I said hi. And I asked, "Hey, you still thinking about retiring?" And she's like, "Oh yeah, you still thinking about going independent?" I said, "Yeah." And then she called me the next day and was like, "Can we talk a little more about these things?" And it's interesting because I think some people expect like buying a business to be a big, like, facilitated transaction with like attorneys and stuff. And a lot of times, I think my network of people has been the most valuable thing that I've had in my business. And I know some people don't like networking and they'd rather do anything besides go to like a networking event or talk to people. But I will say that it was because I was around a like-minded person and like some people in the industry that kind of had fee-only businesses, that really she felt kind of safe to say, "I want to retire. My husband's retired. I'm done." We really, I said, "Well, I want, I made her an offer. I kind of got a business valuation. A friend helped me with someone in my network knew how to do these evaluations. All of these things, I kind of just tapped into it because I didn't know where to start, but I knew this was a good opportunity." And so it kind of reached out to people to say, like, "How do we even do this? How do you even make a deal like this?" And buying a viable business that already has profit, already has clients. I mean, this versus starting from scratch was just, for me, it felt like a way to get where I wanted to go so much faster. And so I think a lot of times people think about starting a business, but they don't necessarily think about buying an existing business. But there's a lot of business owners who really do want to retire someday and have no idea how to necessarily do it. In my situation, she wanted to be fully out in 6 months. Some people want to hang around in the business, or they want to kind of go to a very limited role, or they want to, retire over time. There's all different ways to do it. But yeah, I think it's important, like, whether you're a small business owner, to think about, like, what do you want to happen to your business and your clients if something happens to you? Do you want it to just dissolve? Do you want somebody to buy? Do you want somebody to actually protect your family and have it be something where you could say you are, like, maybe nothing happens for 15 years, but if something happens, there's maybe life insurance or a buyout, buy sell thing in place. So your clients know what's going to happen. I've had clients ask, like, Susan, when she was about to retire, they were like asking her, "When are you going to retire? Like, what's going to happen to me?" Because everybody, no matter how much they love working with us, is really concerned with what's going to happen to me, or what happens to me? Like, you decide you get to hit the lottery and want to leave. And so I think it's kind of comforting for my clients to know this is going to what's going to happen. And so I'm even working on that now with a succession plan within my network, because there are people that kind of are setting up these plans to say, "Okay, if something happens to me, this is the valuation of the business. We evaluate it every year. This is how you step in and kind of eliminate." It's an awful thing to think about. However, just to kind of minimize the disruption that comes in that. And retiring is the same thing. So I think, yeah, give some thought to, like, what you'd like to happen if you don't have a necessary successor or a junior or a partner in your business. Maybe, reaching out to people who do what you do or people who are serving the same audience. And instead of looking at it as a competition, kind of like maybe a group of people that you could kind of talk about these things with, because it can be really helpful.
I love that. And I think it's a win-win-win for three groups. It's a win for the business owner who's ready to move on, whether it's fully retire or just focus on other passion projects. It's a win for the clients because they end up working with someone who continues to provide the same level of service to them. And then it's a win for the person who buys the business because now they're either able to get into a business for the first time and, like you said, already have it be successful and viable, or they can add it to their current business and just be put on a different growth trajectory. So I think it's a really great thing to consider. And when you had first mentioned it to me as a possibility one day, I was like, something I hadn't even thought of. But as you mentioned, it's so true to have that succession plan, because we don't know what could happen one day in life and what will happen to your business if something happens to you.
Yeah. And a lot of times our businesses do have value, whether it's equipment, whether it's clients, whether it's contracts. So a lot of times we do. And I would, you know, I think it's unfortunate, you know, even with my, you know, my father's business, when he passed, the business was gone too. It was dissolved. Like there was nothing there for my, there was nobody to come in and step in. So it really just kind of, it kind of just dissolved. But at some point there probably was, you know, there weren't, you know, maybe there were ways to kind of monetize what somebody would have been willing to pay my mother, maybe, to kind of come in and take over. So I see that, especially with a lot of the businesses that I'm seeing with that my clients have, they're so valuable. They're really valuable. I look at it from, okay, what are we going to put on paper as far as like this asset? And sometimes people don't know. And I'm like, well, let's figure out what it's worth. You know, even if it's just to know, because you're investing in it every day with your time, your energy, your money. And so I think it's nice to kind of see it there on the asset column.
Yes, definitely. And is there something people should do to prepare for that, like financially, in order to be ready for when they end up selling off their business and get ready for retirement that way?
Yeah, that's where I think looking at those systems and your tool, you're kind of like you know, kind of keeping everything as lean as possible. I kind of had a lot of cleanup to do when I got here, you know, not for anything. It was just kind of like business had always just kind of, you know, when things pop up, you know, we hadn't really looked at the systems, looked at, you know, store, all of these things, you just kind of add on and on and on. And so I kind of changed some of the systems and some of the tools where, you know, I feel like if I keep things really organized, then that just makes it easier for me to know, like, what am I paying for? Who do I work with? Where is this information stored? All of those things. For the next person to have kind of a really nice idea of this is how the business runs. Could it fold into their current business? Maybe. Could it be something that they take and, you know, hit the ground running? You know, so I think that's kind of an important thing when you're looking at, you know, all the, and it really, you can kind of track it just by looking at your bank statements and credit cards. Yeah. Where's money going? And then what do people have to cancel? Like, it was great that
she had
like LastPass, like usernames and passwords, so I could even access. Not being like, hi, I own this business now. Like, I can't look at any of these things. Working together for us for 6 months really helped with the transition. I got to meet all her clients with her, which made them instantly feel more comfortable. And then also, nothing really changed for them.
Right.
So I think behind the scenes, if you know, like, you know, what tools you use the system, even though like some people don't have a lot of documents or a lot of people working with them, like if you have some workflows or you have some operational procedures, then if you add people to your business or you sell your business, I think that can be really helpful. It's just, again, another one of those projects, but there are people out there who love operations and they're happy to kind of come in and help you figure out how to document your procedures. I'm in a super regulated business where I have to have these things, but not everyone is, but they're really helpful.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's a great point. If there was one piece of advice that you could give to business owners when it comes to their finances, like what would be your, I don't want to necessarily say golden rule, but one thing that you feel like you always stress to people of something to remember or do?
Yeah, I think it's important for, business owners to kind of try to, as much as you can, separate yourself from the business. I know it's hard to think about, you know, we love our clients, we love our work. But sometimes to kind of take that step back and look at it like an organization, like its own entity with its own books and records, with maybe, you know, how, when you want to leave, because most people don't want to, like, you know, if they work for a bigger corporation, they're planning to leave at some point and take care of themselves and be independent. And so try to think about it like, you know, this is its own thing. Like, how can I do what I can to make it successful, operational, but realize that there's so much more to my life and so much more to me than this work.
So
that's something that I would suggest. And then, starting to think about ways that you could save for future you. If for some reason you can't work forever, or you decide at some point you really don't want to, how can you set yourself up to be successful in the future once, you know, once your working career changes?
Yeah, I love that advice. Now, on to one of my favorite questions that I love to ask our guests, which is what their favorite local businesses are to support. So I always see you sharing on your Instagram stories places where you love to go. But what would you say your favorite places are to frequent local
Oh,
to you?
man. Yeah. So I love my town. I'm in Walpole, Massachusetts, and I think our town is having a very, a huge glow up as far as all these things. We're getting new restaurants, we're getting new businesses, we're getting new apartments, we're getting a lot of new stuff, which is really cool to see as a business owner. One of my favorite local businesses is probably the Walpole Public Library, which is right down the street from me. This was the biggest hole in my budget. I would spend thousands of dollars on books a year. And you understand.
Yes.
And I love, like, I'll walk there at least once a week. And oh my God, they have activities for the kids. They have so much stuff. It's fantastic. And it saves me a fortune in like books. So I love going there. Also, we just got a Muffin House Cafe,
oh,
which I have, I love all iced coffee, all coffee. And so having a place now that's like super close that I could walk to from my office, it's really helping me get those steps up, and it's amazing. And so, yeah, I would probably say those two are my current favorite within what I walk to work from my home. So I am in town. My kids go to school here. I work here. You know, I love seeing good things happen, you know, in this town. But yeah, we're starting to get, we also have a really good Greek restaurant, Cosmos. Oh my God.
Oh, yum.
It's fantastic. We're just very lucky.
I love that. Misty, this has been such a fantastic episode of being able to have you come on and share all the things that business owners and professionals need to know when it comes to their finances. And so now I'd love to give you the opportunity to share with our listeners where they can find you online in case they'd like to chat with you further.
Sure. If you wanted to go to mistylynch.com, that's probably the easiest way that you can find more about me, the podcast, the book, and even have links to soundviewfinancialadvisors.com, which is the website for investment management and financial planning. I have some workshops and some, you know, tools. Also, you know, if you're thinking about how to get your business or your small business kind of how to inspire your employees to save or budget or looking for some workplace wellness things, there's definitely a great, you know, that's a good spot to reach me if that's something you're looking to do in your business. So yeah, MistyLynch.com and then MistyLynchCFP on social media.
Perfect. And I'll link to those places in the show notes so that way our listeners can click through and connect with you from there. But thank you so much for being a guest on today's show.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Right Here in Mass. We hope you enjoyed listening to it as much as we enjoyed recording it. Be sure to subscribe, leave a review, follow us on social media, and share our podcast with your network. See you next week.